Thank you, Annika. Good morning, Redemption Church. I hope you're all doing well this fine, wonderful morning. My name is Martin Bogwa. I am one of the board members for Redemption Church. And I'm glad to be able to come before you and just share a word. And also, like Annika said, I do, even today, as I also am in Kitsilano, so we do present in this sermon from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And we are grateful for all the First Nations in Canada, and we recognize we are here also because of them. So thank you. So today's sermon is going to be just about, the title of today's sermon is An Invitation to Stay. And I'm going to be talking about, just give you an example, is I really love God's word, and I believe God's word is relevant to today, to us today, not just from days past. I know there can be a temptation when we read God's word, we're like, it mattered then. And I believe it still matters today. And God's word is alive. And if we build our lives upon the word of God, our lives will become a wellspring of life. So I believe God's word is relevant. When I take my Bible or read it, whichever way now, I always start with an amazement that God can give me revelation, or God can give me truths that can help me make better decisions every day. And I live that every day. And so when I was invited to preach today about, Pastor Barry asked me, hey, Martin, would you like to preach? Funny enough, I had been reading on this story on 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 37, about the Shunammite woman and Elisha. And God had been just sharing with me some insights about that story. And I was like so blown away. And in fact, I told myself in my heart, I was like, wow, God, that's a really good, that would be good to share with other people. And then Pastor Barry asked me and I was like, oops. I was like, oops, God got me there. But I'm really excited. And started with Pastor Barry just sharing with him what I want to give you. And so, yeah, I am excited today to really give you this word. It's not a complicated word just to start you off, but it is from the heart. And I believe it's from God to you and I. And I hope you can be willing just to listen. So I'm going to start with another quick prayer and just to begin to put us in that position. Lord, we pray that I pray that as I start this scripture, the sermon, that your words just flow in. I pray, Holy Spirit, you may take charge. And I just pray that you will prepare every heart and mind, young and young at heart. Everyone will just receive it and receive what you want for them, Lord God. So, Lord, we do thank you and we praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to start I'm going to go through a brief breakdown of the story. I hope you got a chance to read it over the week. If you have not, don't worry, you can even read it after the sermon. It's a long story, but I'll just take us through the story. It's really interesting. I find it, I'll give you the brief of the story and also what I was picking up as I was reading it. And then I'm going to just highlight four key things or four points that I feel God's just sharing. I'll also ask later on, I'll ask Sarah to just share a slide that's like a summary of those four points and how they link up. And then just a conclusion with, how does this scripture help us? How does this scripture, what is God? What do I feel or sense God is trying to tell us? Hey guys, this is the word for you today. And then we'll just conclude with the word of prayer. And then Monica will take over with the communion after that. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, the story starts about Elisha. And Elisha is going to it's a place called Shunem. And then he meets we're told it's a well-to-do woman. We're never given the name of this woman, but we're told it's a well-to-do woman. And other versions say it's wealthy. So she's well off. And she urges him to stay. Okay? She urges him to stay for a meal. This is Elisha. And remember, in this time, Elisha is the successor of Elijah. And between these two prophets, Israel has really left. They've almost gone sideways with God. And God is using the prophets in this period to really lead them back to him. The prophets are key people who are shout their voice in that voice in the desert in this time saying, hey, come back to God. And so Elisha is in that role. It's the fourth chapter. So he's just taken over from Elijah, and he's really doing these things. So there's this woman comes and she urges him to stay for a meal. And then the next thing, she goes to her husband and she says something very beautiful. I think the husband says that, I know that this man who often comes away is a holy man of God. And then she says, let's make a roof for him. And if you continue reading, she asks the husband, and clearly, because they did it, the husband was clearly compelled and he agreed with her and they did it. And I was just imagining that this is Elisha, this is a prophet, this is, and just to be clear with everyone, I believe this was just not a man, this was a servant of God. And in that time, God was using him. And I believe there were things happening around him or stories he could tell. And here's this lady who invites him for a meal and then takes the next step and says, man, I want him to be able to stay in this house. Anytime he's passing by, he has a home in this place. And I was like, whoa, she's not just inviting Elisha. She's inviting God. She's inviting the representative of God or pastor, the person who's being used to be staying in that house. That's gutsy. I really said, man, I gave her marks for courage. And one day, Elisha, I was reading one of the commentaries, said, like, out of his, you know, the Elisha was gracious and he was just really grateful for what she's done. Asks her, hey, what do you want? Do you want, I can give you a good word for the king and the commander of the armies. And she says, nah, I have a home among my own people. I'm good. And Gehazi, the servant, Elisha's servant, like, tells him, yeah, she doesn't have a son. And Elisha says, no problem. This time next year, you'll hold a son in your arms. And you could almost see that her response was, please don't touch those sensitive areas of my life. Like, it's like she objected. Don't mislead your servant. Don't tell me something that will hurt me. Don't tell me this, you know. But Elisha doesn't respond to that. He's spoken it as a prophet. He's like, yeah, God, me, I've spoken it. I've been given authority. It's going to happen. And sure enough, later on, she becomes pregnant, and a year later, she gets a child. The child grows, and we clearly, there's a time difference. We can tell that he grows. We don't know how old the child is, but we know he's growing, and he's going to help his father. And then he says he's having an issue with he's sick, and goes to his mom, staying to his mom, and he dies. And the woman eventually then is, she's so heartbroken, but she quickly gets on a donkey, and she says, I'm going to look for the man of God. And I was really meditating about that here is a woman who was told, you're going to have a servant and you're going to have a son. And it was almost a hurtful thing. Like Elisha literally pointed at, promised her something that maybe she had been battling with and she had put to rest. Maybe because her husband was old, she had said, I can never have kids, it's gone. But here is God saying, you're going to have a son. I'm going to revive that dream. And she sees it come to pass. A year later, probably even not just her, the whole community is like, what? What happened? She's pregnant. She has a son. It's a testimony. That boy is literally like another, he's like a reminder, like Isaac. He's a testimony that God said, Elisha said, I'll have a son here. So I'm sure every time they see that boy play, she would look at him like, man, you are a word, a promise, and you came to be. But here it is, that promise has died. And I love the fact that she quickly says, I'm going to look for the man of God. The husband tries to stop her. She's like, it's okay. I'll go see him. I need to go look for him. And she goes to Mount Carmel. And I believe Mount Carmel was like the base of operations for the prophets. It's the same mountain that Elisha had a face-off with the prophets of Baal, and completely God trounced those prophets. And there was even an altar. So Mount Carmel has a special significance in the two chapters of Kings. And what I loved about this story is that when she got close to Elisha, she went and she went onto his feet. She took hold of his feet. And even the servant is trying to push away. But I love something that Elisha said. Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. And I thought of that scripture and I was like, wait a minute. Here is a mighty prophet actually saying, I don't know what's up. I'm supposed to know. I'm the prophet. I am told things by God before other people. And here comes this woman. I just know she's a problem. And clearly from the next verses, and when she talks, he's able to like deduce, okay, maybe this is what's happened. But I felt that God stopping me and saying, stop and hear. The prophet doesn't even know what's going on. So that tells me that this lady was not just interacting anymore with Elisha. Her heart was going directly to the heart of God. Elisha was just being a prophet. He's just now the servant. But you can clearly see that this woman has been building a relationship with God. She hasn't just been looking at Elisha. She's been looking to the God of Elisha. And even as she meets with Elisha, I believe in that journey, maybe she wasn't just even saying, God, she's not just going to Elisha. Maybe she was remembering all the stories Elisha had shared, everything. And she's like, God, I'm crying to you, the God of Elisha. And so when Elisha is captured there, he's like, whoa. He's like, what's going on here? And I love that. So God was reminding me that. Because I've been, as a Christian, I've been in those circles, maybe charismatic circles. Prophets come in. They are real prophets. They speak, but people worship the prophet and they forget God. And I felt God really nudging me. He's like, look at this. This lady was worshiping. She was coming for me. And the story, the way Elisha responded was a test. It was a confirmation to me. She was looking to God also. And she's like, she really pleaded with him. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? It's like she's pleading and just going before the prophet. And the prophet, and I'm sure Elisha is like, okay, let's see what can be done. He sends the staff. He tells his servant, take the staff, get it fixed. Take my staff, go put it on the boy. He'll come back to life. Hopefully, he's like, yeah, just go do that. And the servant comes like, no, not happening. And in that time, they were walking back. This lady refused to leave Elisha. She's like, Elisha, I'm not leaving. God's using you and you're going to be used again. And I think they have, and also they have a good relationship, because when Elisha saw the woman from afar, he asked three things. Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? And for me, I picked up relationship. Elisha had a relationship with a Shunammite woman. They were just not, at the beginning of this story, he was just a passerby. But by verse 26, they are friends. Elisha knows this woman. From afar, he can tell, I know that woman because I always stop by her place and I sleep there. I know her husband and I know the son, because the son is the one God told me she's going to have a baby. And that son, that boy came to pass. So there's a relationship. So as they're walking by, I was just like, wow, I was just picturing that image of Elisha and this lady walking by, and probably they're just exchanging words. And maybe he was just feeling that emotion. And even he's like, oh my goodness, wow. But I love then something else that happens. I think for me, even this story, even Elisha, I think, was being humbled by this story, because he takes the boy, he locks everyone out, goes and sits with the boy. And you know what Elisha does? He shuts the door on the two of them in verse 33. And he prays to God. He is a prophet going on his knees to pray. In other words, it's telling us, I believe God, the writer of this book is telling us, whatever's going to happen next, it's not Elisha's doing. Whatever's going to happen, it's not Elisha. Don't get distracted. Yes, God is using Elisha. Many things are happening. But there's some that even Elisha himself has to go and connect with God and plead that this boy comes to life. And he prays, he lays on the boy's body, comes out, the boy is getting warm, walks around, does it again. The boy sneezes seven times and opens his eyes. And you're like, whoa. That's like, whoa. And then Elisha calls the servant and tells the woman, Shunammite woman, to come. And she gives her son back to the woman. And the woman goes and she's like, she's happy. So now this lady has two testimonies. One, a son that she was promised, that she never thought she could get a son, and she's told she'll have a son, and she does. And now the son dies, but is brought back to life. So two mighty testimonies. And I was like, whoa, okay, God, wow. So what are you trying to tell us, Lord? What are you bringing? And I feel like God was just bringing four points in the story, the four things. And even before I bring the four things, I believe in this story, I felt God telling me he's showing a representation of our walk with Jesus. This is our journey with the Lord. And I'm going to explain those four points. The first point is an invitation to a meal. This lady started this process. remember, Elisha's just walking by. Probably she had heard of him, seen him, but she took that step and said, I want to get to know a bit about this guy. There's something about Elisha. Something triggered her. Maybe she met him when he was passing by and her heart was like, there's something different. I don't know what it is. The next thing, she goes the next step, the next level, and she asks him to, she makes a room for him in her house. So she invites him, then makes a room for him. But then the third point is, there's an experience. She gets an encounter with God. So she lets Elisha to stay in the house, and they're interacting, they're talking, they're becoming friends, and she maybe is learning the stories about God, the God of Elisha, the God of Elijah, the God of, she's getting more personal stories. Maybe she's getting the in-depth stories when Elisha goes to talk to the kings, and maybe what Elisha is showing her, and she can reveal, Elisha can reveal, they're growing. But she invites him, and then now she's given a word. You're gonna get a son next year. So that's an experience that comes to pass. God gives a promise, it comes to pass. There's nothing more special, ladies and gentlemen, than that. There's nothing that is more special when God promises you or tells you, I'm gonna do this for you, and he does it. There's nothing more, even if no one knows, that when you cry out to God, God, I need maybe school fees. God, I need food. God, I need a job. God, I need this, and God answers. And you in your heart, you know, that was God. Or God gives you peace, or God gives you joy, or you're going through a battle and you ask God for help and he comes through and you're like, whoa. It makes you stop and say, that's not me. That was not anyone else. That was God. And the fourth point is, I just call it purely the miraculous. Not only gets an experience, she goes to another level where she sees God do, not just bring a child to pass, help her get a child pregnant, but bring the child back to life. She sees something that no one else probably even in her region has seen. And that's her personal testimony with the Lord. And I feel like those are the four points God was leading. And right now I'm gonna ask Sarah to just share the slide. I like images, I like pictures. There's a graph that I wanted to share, and I hope it helps you see it. And there are four points. So the key thing about this graph is on the y-axis, you have depth in interactions with God. On the x-axis, you have time. And I felt when I was really reading and meditating, God was showing me something. The first point is an invitation. She starts a relationship with God. She starts a relationship with Elisha, and it happens. She starts the initiation. The second thing is she gets to the point of asking him, hey, stay in this house. So she noticed each time something's happening, there's depth, there's interaction, she's getting to know more about God. The third one, she, through that process of becoming pregnant, I think she even got to another level. And then the fourth one is even way up. Time is also occurring between these points, but I feel like God is using this to tell us this is the journey he wants for us to go from just hearing about Jesus, to knowing about Jesus, to experiencing Jesus and just being taken to new levels and heights by the Lord, that you can say, it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, that God is calling us to deeper levels with him. When I read this story, I see this woman just being taken through that journey to the point, even at the fourth point, Elisha himself is even being challenged. He's being pulled. God is like really challenging, like, man, you got to see a miracle, but you're going to have to seek me even more. And I feel this is the journey God is modeling us to follow. This is the journey. And you may be wondering, like, hey, I may ask you, where do you see yourself in this journey? But also more, I'll say, where do you want to be on this pathway? And if you look at that graph, there's the me-dependent and there's God-dependent. The me-dependent is the invitation. The me-dependent is letting Christ in. The me-dependent is you just let Christ take over your life. But the God-dependent is when now you surrender to God. And that's why I put that point, a small circle at the point. that's the point where you do an interaction where you give over to Christ and you let him take charge. And don't get me wrong, people, the miraculous is beautiful and all these things are great. But this story for me was not just about the miracle. It was about the intimacy or the relationship this woman was developing with God. She was growing closer to God. She was getting encounters through the prophetic anointing of Elisha. She was being touched. She was, it's like she had a hunger for God. She saw it in probably in Elisha. She was drawn to God. And God just increased this in her. And she saw more and more. And it continued like that. And that's what I want to say. So the key takeaways is, where are you relative to those 4 points? Or where do you want to be? For me, this is just a story. It's a story, and I see those 4 points. And it's not really that you have to be anywhere there, but it could be, do you want to be somewhere there? Are you growing deeper with God? Have you stagnated? Have you stopped? Is God just, I call to him when I need him, not because I want to learn more about him? It's all those things and more. And maybe, have you lost your way? Is it possible that you once were close to God, but you've let the gas, you put off the gas of the pedal and you're somewhere just waiting, or you've lost track? I encourage you, get back. I believe God is not, he's not like condemning us and saying, no, I think this is a call from God. He's calling us to deeper relationship with him. And it's okay to start from point one. It's okay to be at point two. It's okay to start point three, and on you go into the miraculous. This is not a race with other people, like I shared last time. This is a race with you and yourself and God. It's a journey. God's not like, hey, I need you to know. You have to, and look at, if you really look at that woman's story, it was a process. It didn't happen overnight, but I love the fact that she was so faithful to God by just learning about him and growing. And I believe through this story, I see that the miraculous is an outflow of an intimate relationship with God. And don't get me wrong, God is still doing miracles every day. I believe he is, and he's doing big and small. We had testimonies last Sunday. God is working. It's just that sometimes we're looking at we really want to see the big, big, big miracles, and we miss the small, the sweet, the joyful. We are missing all these things, and God's like, stop and see what I'm doing. It's good. But also, where is our heart with the Lord? I don't think this woman was looking for a son when she invited Elisha. I don't think she was also looking for a son when she invited him to stay. I think she was just curious and hungry to know more about God. And as I really meditated, I was like, why do you love God? Why do you seek after God? Is it because of what he can do for you? Or is it because of what he has already done for you? Where is our hearts when it comes to God? Why do we love God? Why do we hunger after him? Is it because God can give me a job, car, that, all these things and all more? Or is it because, one, he died on the cross for me, he reconciled me to the Father, and he's drawing me to a deeper relationship with him? Yeah. So, and that I really felt, wow, was God just telling me, I felt God telling me and sharing my story that I have seen God do greater things. I've seen God do miracles, but it wasn't so much because I asked for it. It's because I was crying to him and talking to him, and he helped me see the way forward, and then he does something. And so in conclusion, even with just a conclusion, that with the title of the sermon, the first question I will ask you, have you invited Jesus to stay? Point A in that graph is it's a scary point for most people, including myself. It was a scary point because it's a point of point one and point two, and then point A is a point of surrender. You're inviting Jesus to you, to your heart, to your life. And here's the thing about God. He does come into our lives. He wants to come in our lives, but he doesn't leave us the same way. there's something about God is that he's alive. God's alive and he's a mover of things. He shapes our hearts. The Holy Spirit just doesn't sit idle. He comes into your life, he starts cleaning. He starts getting things in order. The Holy Spirit does that. He's good at it. He knows what you need to become and he starts working on you. He's listening to the Father, the Son. They're working in tandem. But I remember when Jesus, in Revelations 3:20, Jesus shared, there's a verse in verse 20, it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And the question is, have you heard his voice and have you let him in? And even if you feel he's left, he's still willing to come back in. And then in John chapter 14, verse 23, John 14, 20, 24, especially in verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them." So Jesus not only is knocking our door, he's saying, if you love me, you'll obey my teaching. And I will come with the Father, and we will come to you and make our home with you. So Elisha was a representative for God on the earth at that time. But he's a better representative now, and his name is Jesus. And the difference is, Jesus isn't just walking by, passing. He's actually stopping at our homes, at our hearts, and knocking. And he's not just saying, "I want to come in." He's saying, "I, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, want to come and make a home with you." And I find that to be just mind-blowing. I was picturing that image of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit seated in my house or seated in my heart, making fellowship with me. And I was like, it still gets me every time. I'm just like, it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's depth, and they're alive. And I believe, I strongly believe, and I pray God one day will confirm to me, I believe the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, I believe they laugh a lot and they talk a lot. And I believe if you had their conversations, you would be amazed because it's so loving. This, and that's why as I was even thinking about this, like, there's something about God that is so attractive. But even we as a church fail to capture it because we're human. We're not perfect. But God is beautiful. He's loving. There's something so attractive about God. And I pray you all invite him in and let him make home. It's not easy. I will not say it's an easy journey. I will not say it's perfect. I will not say you love it. But if you let God in like this lady did, your story will change. And I pray we'll all be on that curve headed towards heaven, headed towards a place with God that's beautiful. So that is the message for today. And I just want to take some time and just pray and let us think about that scriptures and what. And yeah, if you do feel convicted or if you feel you need to talk anyone more about that, Monica is available. Laura is also available. The elders are available. And you can just reach out to us and anytime. Yeah. So I'm just going to take some time. And as I pray, I'm going to give us a few minutes just to let the words, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're hearing God, just let God think. This word is not to condemn you. It's not to condemn anyone. It's a clarion call to intimacy with God. It's God saying, wherever you are, get up. If you're walking there, good, keep walking. If you've lost your way, find your way back through Jesus. If you've not invited Jesus, you're missing out. He's the best. He is assured the best. I love him with all my heart, and I promise you, he's the best thing on this earth. Amen. So I'll just say the prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your life. I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to really die on that cross for us. And as Annika was saying, to really reconcile us back to the Father. And God, I thank you for this story of this Shunammite woman. We don't even know her name, but we see a hunger. I believe, God, she had a hunger for you And she saw it in Elisha. She saw you in Elisha. And I thank you, God, of the beauty in this story. And I pray the same beauty to come upon all who are listening to this sermon or listen to my voice. The beauty of knowing God and just falling in love with you and loving you one day at a time. We love the miraculous God. We love the giftings. But we want to love you even more. Our hearts are drawn to you. And where you are, that's where we want to be. That's our greatest blessing, to be next to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not easy, God, but give us the grace to get there. And I pray, God, if anyone is lost, feeling like I've lost my way, I just pray that, God, you touch them and show them that you're calling them back home. And I pray, God, if there's anyone who's feeling condemned, feeling, I once knew this Jesus, but I'm struggling with so many things left, right. I pray that, God, as they reach out to you, hear their cry. And I pray brings around them with men and women who can help them get back on that right track. And Lord, if there's anyone amongst us who has not given their life to Christ, they're still like at point number one. And Lord, one, you're telling them it's okay, but you're also nudging them, calling them like, hey, let's have a meal. Let me at least sit and talk to you. Let me in. Let's talk. And I, for those, God, who are running full steam ahead, continue to give them the grace to keep on going and growing deeper and deeper as they lead others into you. I thank you for the opportunity to share this word, Lord. And I just pray that this word will be continue to be a blessing to others, because I believe it has come from you. And it is not just for any part, it's for all to receive and be blessed. So Lord, we thank you for this day and this evening, this morning, and thank you for the message. And we pray that if anyone has been convicted or touched, that God, you will give them the courage to reach out to any one of us, to reach out and say, I want to know this Jesus more. And if there's any one of you who you're interested in Jesus, or you're curious about Jesus, or you have questions, or you have struggles, reach out. Come to us. We're going to have prayers after. Lord, I just pray that they give them that courage to speak. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray and ask all this in Jesus' mighty, powerful name. Amen.